Our first chapter 17 had to do with the destruction of the harlot. Chapter 17 called it Mystery of Babylon. After studying chapter 17, it took the mystery out. Chapter 18 doesn't speak of mystery anymore. Actually, chapter 18 deals with the city, the actual Babylon city. Did you know that Saddam Hussein was already in the midst of restoring Babylon? He was in the midst. There's a restoration project that he had started in Iraq, and he had started the rebuilding of Babylon. We believe that Babylon is a literal city. Chapter 18 deals with it as a literal city. And that's what chapter 18 is about, Babylon, the literal city. Chapter 17, if I had my chart up here, we'd be right smack dab in the middle of the seven-year tribulation period. 3.5 years is gone, and chapter 17 is smack dab in the middle. That's chapter 17. Chapter 18 happens toward the end of the tribulation period. It'll happen toward the end of the tribulation period. And then you'll see our next chapter will deal with the marriage supper. That'll be chapter 19, deals with the marriage supper. And where its sequence is found in Revelation, of course, tells us when it's going to happen. It's going to happen at the end of the tribulation period, obviously, because that's where chapter 19 has it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to understand what you'd want us to see and understand today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a line through verse 5 that tells me that we're looking at verse 6. If you want to put that up on the wall behind me. Verse 6, double jeopardy. We could title that verse Double Jeopardy. Verse 6, render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works, and the cup which she has mixed double for her. God's law of sowing and reaping will come into effect, as we can see here. Those who offer no mercy will receive no mercy. The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we see the sowing and the reaping process here. Someone has once said, what goes around comes around. How many of you have ever heard that? What goes around comes around. Be careful what you wish for others, because what you might wish for others may happen to you. Sometimes we get angry and revengeful, and we wish certain things to happen to certain people. Be careful what you wish for, because it can happen to you. It's been predicted in 30 years there will be no Christians living in the Palestinian-controlled areas of Israel. Palestinian persecution is driving them out of the land where Christ was born, Bethlehem. Located in that area of the Palestinians. Babylon's cup will be filled with abominable things. If we were to title the next verse, the taller they are, what goes with that? The harder they fall. You can finish that. Okay, verse 7, if you're with me, and we have it up here behind me. Verse 7. This is the NIV. I'd like to read the verse 7 in the King James. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Pretty proud words, don't you think? Those are pretty proud words. She'll end up eating every one of those. This godless city will be filled with pride and haughtiness. Her residents will declare that she's beautiful and great and glorious, and her reign is over all the earth, as we're told in another verse. She'll think that she's a queen and that she is married to the kings of the earth. That's why she claims to not be a widow. She indeed is married to the kings of the earth. By the way, the kings of the 10 kings, the 10 horns, the 10 kings. They will give their power to the Antichrist. They'll be given their power to the Antichrist. It'll be when the Antichrist decides to destroy in chapter 17, when she is destroyed, the harlot is destroyed, then he will rise to power. The Antichrist will rise to power. The Babylon of the Old Testament times, King Nebuchadnezzar, remember the dream that Daniel had, and he likened the empire of Babylon as what material? Does anybody remember? What material was the Babylonian Empire recognized in the statue? They made a big statue, and King Nebuchadnezzar wanted everybody to worship the statue. What was the head? Most precious metal there is. Gold. That's what I was looking for. Gold. Most precious material. You know why Babylon was likened to gold? Because it was probably the greatest city ever on the face of this earth. I don't have the exact measurements, but I remember reading about the great walls that held Babylon. On the very top of the wall, the top of the wall was wide enough that five chariots could race side by side on the top of the great wall of Babylon. Do you realize how thick the wall was? There was no way anybody could destroy the wall and take the city. But you know what? When God says it's time to be destroyed, it happened very quickly. Do you know how it was destroyed? Belshazzar was holding a feast. He held a big party. He had taken the sacred objects from the tabernacle that they took in Jerusalem when they took over the city and burned it. He took those precious treasures from the tabernacle and he brought them into the party. He wanted to make fun of God. Obviously, he didn't learn anything from his father's problems. Belshazzar would have been probably the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. So he learned nothing from that. He brought these precious cups and saucers that were holy and sacred. And he drank wine out of them and belittled and made fun of God. Do you know what happened in the midst of the party? A hand was seen that came onto the wall and began to write, "Meeny, meeny, percussa." What in the world's that? Well, that means that you have been put in a balance and you've been found wanting. Belshazzar, you have been weighed in a balance and you are found wanting. That very same night, the enemy, the Medes and the Persians, drained the Tigris-Euphrates that flowed through the great city of Babylon. They stopped it off and stopped it. And you know what they did? They walked in on the riverbed, right into the city. They didn't have to do anything to the walls. They went under the wall. They went under. They came through the riverbed and killed Belshazzar and took the city. Didn't have to destroy the city. They just took it over. They killed the king and took the city. How easy is that? It happened very quickly. And by the way, that city serves as a phototype of what this city here that will be rebuilt. Babylon will be rebuilt. Obviously, there's people that think they can still be as great as Babylon was. And so they have a desire to rebuild this city called Babylon. Where? Probably in the exact location where it was originally, somewhere very close. It'll be rebuilt. Pastor, that's going to take a lot of time. Not necessarily. If you have all the money and all the kings of the earth put their money and treasures to it, you realize how quickly it can be rebuilt? Very quickly. Very quickly. But it'll be destroyed just as quick. That's what this chapter is about, how quickly that will be destroyed. Okay, you with me? Verse 7. I just read that. It'll be filled with the pride and the haughtiness. The residents will declare her beauty. How deceived they will be when they extol her all around the world. God brought her down in one day, and it happened during the reign of Belshazzar. The voice from heaven will say, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in that same measure, she will receive torment and sorrow. You see, this is one of God's standards of judgments. When he remembers Babylon, the great grief of the godly will be turned into glory, and the glory of the godless will be turned into great grief. You see how contrasted that will be. When nations become wealthy, they become independent and no longer sense their need for God. The history of the great nations in the past reveals that wealth and prosperity is responsible for their fall. Why don't we learn from our mistakes? You ever hear the term, history repeats itself? History repeats itself. Which seems like we're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, but not learning anything. Study the nations. Always, they forget God when they become very wealthy and prosperous. They always forget God. Today, there are many global corporations and world leaders, and they are making decisions for the sole purpose of producing wealth. They can't see God's love or his mercy and grace because they're only looking for one big return on their investments. And unfortunately, their willing blindness will be no excuse when God decides that their sins are piled high enough. Verse 8, quick and painful. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning, famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who judges her. Babylon, the home of one world government and global trade. She'll think that she's very powerful. Now, when I use the word she, I'm referring to Babylon. She will control powerful weapons and great armies. But to the Lord, who will judge his highly touted strength, will be like a dart gun. It'll be like a dart gun compared to God. You know, God can destroy a whole nation with a plague of locusts. God just needs to just call for his locusts, and he can destroy a whole nation just with a plague of locusts. That's God's army. God doesn't need any special instruments or computers. He can use it with locusts. People forget about God. They forget about his power. We're living in that day and age. We're living there. America has become a third world country. You know what third world countries are like? Third world countries have dictators usually. And there's more rich people than there is poor people. The rich overtake the poor. You know the blue class, the blue collar, in third world countries, they're sort of just erased. They sort of just disappear. In third world countries, you have the rich and the poor. That's it. Nothing in between, very few in between. That's what America will become. Much faster than what you may think. God will accomplish in one day. The angel of death will pass over Babylon. The city that just said, I will not see sorrow, will grieve bitterly. Thirdly, the rich city will suddenly run out of food. And lastly, it will be burned to the ground. Jack Van Empe, you've heard him. He says, the treasures of the tribulation enterprises do not last. Neither will they last for you if this is all you want out of life. The head of a Gentile world kingdom in Egypt was a man called Pharaoh. He dreamed about 7 fat cows with plenty to eat, followed with 7 skinny cows with very little to eat. He thought this was very significant, and so he called his advisors and his counselors, but they could not interpret the dream. And someone told him, do you remember, you have a man in prison by the name of Joseph? And so he called him. And Joseph told him that God is letting Pharaoh know that Egypt will go through 7 years of good harvest with plenty to eat, but it'll be followed by 7 years of poor harvest and very little to eat. Located them in those areas where the food could be early, to be easily distributed, Pharaoh began to make places to hold all this food. And the preparations that Joseph said needed to be done paid off. 7 years of tremendous harvest came, and it was followed by 7 years of famine. Egypt was severely affected, but survived and still and handled it well because of Joseph. After going to the promised land, Abraham and his nephew Lot decided to separate. Lot moved to the city of Sodom because he thought that looked much nicer. Abraham just simply said, Lot, whatever you decide, I'll take what's left over. That's how it was decided. Lot moved to the city of Sodom. It was a beautiful city. It was full of injustice and lots of sins. God decided to destroy Sodom and the sinful neighbor of Gomorrah as well. He sent angels to tell Lot what was going to happen to get Lot and his family out of Sodom. Lot barely escaped when the fire fell from heaven and burned the cities to the ground. Very similar will it happen to Babylon. Verse 9, weeping kings. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. The destruction of Babylon will be worldwide news. Everybody will be able to find out what's happening because we got television. They'll all know what's going on. Kings and dictators and politicians who supported her will see the smoke billowing up in the air, causing them to grieve and to weep. By sundown, they'll see a heap of smoldering rubble. It will remind many of what happened to the World Trade Center towers in New York City. Do you remember the day that happened? How many of you remember that day? Can you tell me where you were at? Most of you can tell me where you were at. I was doing some painting. I was painting a bedroom for a man that retired from the state center. I was back in the bedroom, and he said, Roger, come on out here right away. He was sitting in the living room in his recliner watching TV. Look what's going on. I seen this airplane fly into the tower. I said, well, what's going on? He said, we're under attack. Whew. Wow. What a day. What a day. Boy, the days following, people were going, calling their prayer groups. They were coming. They were going into churches and opening churches up and praying. That was a good thing. But what was bad is how soon we all forgot about it. Verse 10, a quick fate. Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, what that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. So what's with this 1 hour? Well, it's a short time. It just simply speaks of a short time. It's a short space of time. Maybe just a few days. But most of us think it's going to be suddenly and instantaneously. And some even think it could be nuclear because of those desiring to keep a distance from the city. Could be nuclear. It's an indication. It could be nuclear because people don't want to be near the city because of the radiation fallout from such a blast. It's why they have no desire to be near it. Babylon's called the mighty city, a city of power. It'll be the power center of the Antichrist, the 10 kings and the false prophet, presidents and prime ministers, super center. It'll be a super center of global governance and global trade. Verse 11, no more deliveries. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Not only will the heads of the state weep, but so will the world's big businessmen. It'll certainly not be over the loss of life or the loss of souls going to hell or even their own sins. It'll be weeping and mourning because of the loss of their customers. Isn't it sad? I'll tell you what's sad is when companies make money on disasters, that's sad. Any company that makes money, lots of money, because of a disaster should be put on note. And they should be punished. Are you with me? You hear me? This happens a lot during times of disaster. Companies up their prices when people need that product because they know they'll pay for it. That's sad. And they should be held accountable. And they should be punished for such conduct. The disasters that struck the United States early in the century, there was oil companies and lumber companies and others that were criticized for making windfall profits, and they should be criticized for taking advantage of a disaster. Shame on you. Shame on you, companies. It's certainly not surprising to learn that Babylon will be filled with merchants who enrich themselves during the disasters of the tribulation period. Won't be any different in the tribulation period as it's happening today. It's not any different. Sad that it happens. It is sad. Warren Wisby, surely you've heard of him, he makes this statement: the wealth of the city provides for many nations and employs many people. It's worth noting that not only do the merchants lament the fall of Babylon, but also the kings of the earth. Business and government are also intertwined, that what affects one affects the other. All right, let's try to get one more verse and we'll go home. Verse 12. Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble. There's a comma, so there's more. Talks about these are the products. These are the products. We find that not everything's made in USA. You'll be surprised at how much America buys from other foreign countries. And the current administration right now wants to make China great. Purple and scarlet. The purple that's behind me is what the soldiers dressed Jesus in. And they did it to make fun of him. You see, purple had to do with royalty and kingship. And the soldiers said, "You call yourself a king, huh? Well, a king should have the robe of a king." Thus the purple that they put on Jesus. Because you see, Jesus' clothes, he had carpenter clothes. He was just a poor carpenter. He was a carpenter. Joseph was his daddy. His earthly daddy that showed him how to do carpentry work. But the soldiers arrayed him with a kingly robe, purple, to make fun of him because he said he is a king. You are a king then, aren't you? King of the Jews, they put a cross upon the cross. King of the Jews, he calls himself King of the Jews. He didn't call himself that. That's the name they put on. You see, his king wasn't of this. His kingship wasn't of this earth. His kingdom was not of this earth. His was a spiritual kingdom. He died to set men free. His was a spiritual kingdom. But they put this purple robe on him to make fun of him. It was worn by royalty in John's day. Did you know that silk was so scarce at one time that it was outlawed? Citron wood was also scarce. It was sought for ornamental purposes. Babylon will import these types of cargoes frequently during the tribulation period. These are the goods that you'll find the affluent society people using. The global traders will pile them in Babylon. The Apostle James warned about such things when he said, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. James chapter 5 verses 1, 2, and 3. It will be a boom time in Babylon when the billionaires head there. But it'll be a bust time when the balls of fire falls and God gives wealth, but he meant for it to benefit society and not to enrich a few. God gave wealth, but he did it to benefit society, not to enrich just a few people, which is happening today. A few people are benefited by it. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. We'll stop there. We'll pick up verse 13, Lord willing, next week. Okay. You can stand. We're going to dismiss and go home. Thank you for coming today. What a blessing and joy it's been to share with you. Just love God's word. God's word is more up to date than the morning newspaper that you read. It's more up to date than that. Heavenly Father, what a joy and privilege it's been today. We've come, we've sang, we've prayed, and Lord, we've taught your precious word. I know it won't return void. It'll accomplish everything you wish and desire. And thank you for loving us so much that you gave us a preparation. You showed us preparation of what's coming, what's happening. Because, Lord, you hold the future in your hands. Tomorrow is in your hands. All we have is today. Tomorrow you have. Thank you for each and every one today who's able to be here. Those who will be listening by other means, we pray for you as well and for your families. And we ask that God's will be done in your life as well. We pray that you'll continue to desire to read God's word and to hear his word and to live a good life and righteous life, one that God would be willingly pleased with. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask these things, and everyone said, amen. Lord bless you.